The reason I'm addressing it this morning, I guess it's okay if I say this, right? Several weeks ago when Dale called me, asked me to come and share, he, as we were talking, he just mentioned that y'all have a list of subjects that the ministers are trying to address from time to time. And he told me if I'm interested in addressing one of those, why it would be totally optional for me to do that, and I would have the privilege to. And so he texted me a number of subjects, and one of them was the Bible. And as I thought about it and prayed about it, it's like, yes, I enjoy talking about the Bible because it is important. And in fact, let me say that without the Bible or God's Word, I mean, I have really nothing to say, really. And as preachers, this is our message. This is our Word. This is what we have. And it is indeed the living Word of God. And sometimes we see otherwise, people get off on tangents with ideas and whatever, and it doesn't work. But really, when we base our truth, our message on the Word of God, Scripture is the powerful tool, the powerful message, really. And where are we at with it? No, nothing.
It finally went off. Okay. And came back on.
Okay. The text for this morning is in 2 Timothy 3:16, and basically the main reason I want to use a PowerPoint this morning is because I'll be referencing quite a number of scriptures, and I have found it helpful to use PowerPoint for that instead of trying to turn to all those scriptures. Plus, it gives the option to see it as well. And so for that reason, I chose to use a PowerPoint here this morning. But as we think about the Bible, you know, really, it's actually 66 different books, unique books, and might say separate books that are compiled into one as such. And it's interesting, as I did a little bit of research and kind of refreshed my memory on some of this, you know, it's interesting, the Bible was written over a period of 1,500 years, and nearly 40 writers that were involved in writing. And in fact, the writers were on three different continents, Asia, Europe, and Africa. And what is also interesting, it was written with three different languages. The Old Testament, for the most part, was written in Hebrew, some Aramaic. The New Testament, of course, was written in Greek. And what is also very interesting, as you look at the whole of it, the unparalleled unity and harmony that we see here. And basically, it comes down to the fact that, yes, there was a, may I say, mastermind who is God behind it and inspired it. And so, yes, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished, thoroughly equipped. The King James says thoroughly furnished. The New King James says thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so it is the Bible that equips us for living. It is a Bible that gives us that direction. And how is it that it gives us that direction? It is inspired by God. It is God-breathed as such. Now, I find it also interesting, you know, you think about the Old Testament, the period of time there, the early parts of the New Testament, the early writings were probably somewhere around 1400 B.C., And then the last book of the Bible, which would have been Malachi, was the last book of the Bible to be written. And that was somewhere around the year 400 B.C. And then there's the 400 years of more or less silent years where we really don't hear much, don't see much.
I think you got a bad corner.
Okay.
I think it's...
All right. Very well. Thank you for trying. Thank you, Dale.
Take it back there if you want to try your phone.
I don't know how to use my phone on it. The New Testament was then written around the years of 44 A.D. to 95 A.D. Now, it's also interesting, according to the Guinness World Book of Records, the Bible has been a bestseller over the years. It's very consistent. And it is estimated that somewhere around 5 billion to 7 billion copies have been printed in a period of about 1,500 years. And that goes back to somewhere around the when the Bible was standardized as such as the Old Testament, New Testament. It goes back around somewhere around the 4th century when that happened. And now that those statistics are according to the British Bible Society that they reported in 2021. 5 to 7 billion, that's a lot of Bibles being printed. And as I was thinking about that, you know, today we are so... We're so blessed with having the Bible in so many different formats outside of simply the book that we have in front of us, also on the digital form. You know, I don't know about you, but I find the digital form a very, very good tool, and I use it a lot. And it is a, you know, we use it as a tool. And so the availability of that is amazing. And a tremendous blessing, really. Now, it's also interesting to note that the complete Bible has been translated in over 700 different languages. And have you ever wondered how we got the name Bible for this book as such? Well, it goes back to a Greek word, Biblos, which simply means the book, and how appropriate. Yes, this is the book of all books, as such, and and it's also interesting that same Greek word is used to translate parchment or scroll, which, you know, in the early days it would have been the parchments, the scrolls, and all that. And then, of course, when the printing press came into play, well, now we have it, the format, in a book form like what we have today. And so those are a few interesting notes concerning the Bible. One other interesting tidbit on this, I ran across. It is said that 100 million copies of the Bible are sold each year. That translates to about 50 copies being sold every minute. And it is also interesting, yes, it is a very complex book as such that will boggle the minds of the intelligent, but also it's a very simple book that even a child can understand. And the blessing of that is, yes, very, very true, very, very much a blessing. And it probably is the most widely read book, is the Bible. And then it is probably also the most fiercely debated book. And with that, probably also the most quoted book. And so I find that interesting. So the question is, why is the Bible important for us today? Well, it is God's message. It is God-breathed. May I say, it is our owner's manual. It is God-breathed. It is God speaking it to us, mankind, giving us that direction. And yes, our theme verse for this morning, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is God-breathed. In fact, the ESV says that all Scripture is breathed out by God. And so I like that concept. It is yes, that's what it means when it talks about being inspired by God. It is God-breathed. And we look at the Old Testament. Yes, it is inspired by God. And the New Testament writers reflect that. Peter reflected that in 2 Peter 2, where he said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It's not man's idea, but it is God's idea. And yes, he used ordinary people to accomplish this work. He directed them. Yes, it is, and you see the uniqueness of it in where you see the you see the character of a person, of the writer, but it is God inspired, and I like there in 2 Peter 2, the verses that I just read. I like that description of how Peter defines it. It is not of private interpretation, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by God. God inspired. And, you know, throughout the Old Testament, we see many times where it says, thus saith the Lord, or the Lord is said, or God is said. And many times throughout the Old Testament, we find that. And I find it also interesting that Peter, in the book of Acts, and there in chapter 1, when they were finding a replacement for Judas, this was in choosing of Matthias there as an apostle, Peter quotes from the Old Testament where he said, men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas. And so there he is quoting from the Old Testament that, yes, it is recognizing that it is the Scripture. The Scripture needed to be fulfilled was how he stated it. And then in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. There, the writer of Hebrews is reflecting on, yes, the Old Testament. In the past, God used various people, prophets, to proclaim his message of truth. But now, today, in this dispensation, the last days, he has spoken to us with who? Through who? His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there, yes, truly, the new dispensation, the New Testament message there through Christ. And the Apostle Paul recognized his authority as such, as proclaiming the Word of God. And in fact, he references it several times in his writing to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13. The Apostle Paul says, these things we also speak, not in words which men's wisdom teach us, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And so there again, he's referencing the Holy Spirit has taught him, and yes, God instructed him, gave him that message. And then in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians and verse 37, very similar, where the Apostle Paul says, if anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. And so there he is recognizing that, yes, God is using him as an instrument to proclaim the commandments of the Lord. And really this, how would I say, this is kind of fulfilling what God had spoke to Ananias when he told Ananias to go down to and lay hands on Saul that he may receive his sight. He makes this coming. He said, God tells Ananias, he says, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. And so God had chosen Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor of the church, and God chose him to and transformed him, and yes, he surrendered to God, and God used him in a mighty way as an instrument to proclaim the message of truth in this dispensation. Another verse in 1 Thessalonians, where the Apostle Paul is addressing the church there at Thessalonica, and he says, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. And there again, referencing, yes, the authority of the word of God flowing through the Apostle Paul here. I ran across a quote from a I.M. Holdeman, which I really liked, and the quote goes like this. This book we call the Bible comes to us with the enormous and uncompromising claim that it is not a man-made book. It is a book whose real and sole author is the living and eternal God. I like that. I think that's putting it very well, stating it very well. Reflect with me just a moment. Since the Bible is the Word of God, that means that it is absolutely reliable. It is absolutely reliable because it is the Word of God. You know, it's not necessary to get an update or, you know, as time changes, well, we need to, yeah, okay, well, are there any updates to this? Are there any changes? You know, those of you that are involved in construction business, you know how that works. You know, we always need to stay up to date on the codes because from time to time there are changes. And we need that update. But, you know, the Word of God, it never changes. It is absolutely reliable. It is unchanging. We can base our lives on it, and that is the beauty of it. That is the beauty of it. Absolutely reliable. Not only that, it is infallible. It is absolutely trustworthy. Incapable of making an error or of being an error. You know, you think about it, over the years, how science has been revealed or whatever, technology and science and all that, and you know, for some of those books that were written years ago, you know, they're out of date because things have changed and there's new findings, there's new discoveries, so it's out of date. But not so with the Bible. It is up to date. It is absolutely trustworthy. Not only that, but it is the only message in book form given as a direct revelation from God to man. Yes, it is given by inspiration of God. So yes, it is the Word of God. We all know that not everyone believes the Bible, the Word of God. And over the years, I've had a lot of interaction with people that maybe believe part of it or some of it or maybe not at all. And especially I found, you know, my years of prison ministry, you meet all kinds, and probably one of the most common questions is, well, how do you know that the Bible is true? Oh, another one say, you know what? I tried the Bible. I tried it. And it didn't work for me. Well, I'm glad it's working for you. Oh, okay. Well, what was the problem that it didn't work? I say, you know, it works for me. It did something for me. It's working for me. But you're saying it's not working for you. What's the problem? Is a problem in God, or is it in you, or is it, not everyone receives the Word of God. Not everyone is willing to surrender to the Word of God. But I have found over the years those people that have questioned me or challenged me and, oh, well, now, you know, how do you know it's real? You know, it's simply sharing my personal testimony of what God has done for me and the transformation that He has wrought in my life. You know, they can't refute that. They can't refute that. Not only that, but we see what's happening in the lives of others, and we see that transformation, that it indeed is real. It's true. It does what it says it does, really. God is true. God is faithful. And God has spoken clearly. And yes, God means what He says and says what He means. That's the bottom line. Whether people accept it or not, whether people believe it or not, that doesn't change the truth of God's Word. It is forever settled in heaven. And yes, it is the truth of God's Word. And yes, over the years, people have tried to destroy the Bible, especially early on. If we destroy the book, then that'll take care of it. But you know, in spite of that, God has preserved it. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? You know, yes, the enemy has tried to destroy, but God has preserved. And I'm so grateful for that. But that is, to me, evidence that, yes, it is the Word of God, of how God has preserved it. And, not everyone accepts it. Many people reject it, and others go and twist the Scriptures to make it say what they want it to say. And, it causes a lot of havoc, causes a lot of problems. And this is not a new problem. I mean, we see it happening in our culture today where people will twist Scriptures. And you know what? You can take the Bible and you can make it say about anything you want it to say. It just, you take a verse out of context, I mean, it could go anywhere. But we always need to look at it in the context. And comparing Scripture with Scripture, yes, Scripture is the best interpretation of itself, really. So when there's a difficult or challenging passage, what do other Scriptures say about it? And that is where we find our complete truth, is in the complete work of Scripture. But you know what? This thing of false teachers and people twisting the truth, this is not something new at all. It's not something that has just happened 100 years ago or 200 years ago. I mean, it must have been a problem in the early church, because the Apostle Paul addresses it in Galatians. And if you want to turn to Galatians chapter 1, several verses here that I want to read where the Apostle Paul is addressing this with the Galatians in verse 6 of chapter 1. I marvel that you are turned away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach another gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. If we have, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. You know, that's pretty strong language. That's pretty straightforward. You know exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying here. You know, the gospel message that he preached, the pure gospel message, that is it. There is no other. And notice he says, you know, if we come, if I come, is basically what he's saying. If I come, or an angel come and talk to you, preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. There's one gospel message, the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, so there must have been those false teachers back then. And in fact, Peter also addresses it in 2 Peter 3:16, where he says, mentions the fact that those unstable persons, he calls them, those unstable people, twist the scriptures to their own destruction. And that's exactly what happens. When people take the scriptures and they take them out of context, they twist them to make them say what they want it to say, often it's done to justify their own thinking rather than, for personal benefit, whatever. And but it is to their own destruction that they do it. Now, what is sad is not only are they in that position, but many times they proclaim their ideas, their false ideas, their false doctrine to others. And thereby others are deceived. Many are deceived and fall in their ways. And, you know, we see that happening a lot in our world today, in our culture today. You know, really, with the social media platform that's available out there today, about anybody can get their voice out. And you know what? We may not think of it so much, but really, who's behind it? It's the enemy. You know, Satan can come as a roaring lion, and he also can come as an angel of light. And I think that's what we're seeing a lot. You know, it uses people that, you know, got a lot of truth and just a little bit of error mixed in with it. And it is so destructive. It's so devastating. And it's amazing how people are so gullible. You get a preacher preaching and you know, articulating, doing, you know, articulating very well, and you know, people buy into what he says, hook, line, sinker, and all. I mean, it's just, why are people so gullible? We need to know what the Bible says. We need to know truth, and that is where we need to stand. And you know, Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." So the truth, what is truth? It is Jesus, and I believe, yes, the Word of God, that is truth. The psalmist said, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against thee." The importance of hiding God's word in our hearts so that we have it, so that we know. We need to know what truth is. We need to give ourselves to the study of God's word, truth, so, and hide it in our hearts, so that we can detect error. We don't need to go out there and study all the different false teachings and false doctrines and all that mess. We need to study the Bible, the Word of God, the truth, and build our lives on that. And that is the solid foundation to build our lives on. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. When the word is in our hearts, it will keep us from deception, it will keep us from sin, and it will keep us on the straight and narrow way. So, what impact does the Bible have on us today? How has the truth of God's word impacted you? What does it do? Well, in a very practical way, the next several moments, I'd like to reflect on that just a moment. You know, the Bible reveals to us, first of all, who God is. Going back to Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. And yes, may I say, the Old Testament is very important for us to understand really who God is and how God works. We get to know who God is through that. And in fact, Genesis, the first 11 chapters there are very foundational, I believe, to understanding who God is and how he works with people. And yes, the New Testament, we are now in that dispensation. Yes, that is important. That is where we get our direction for everyday living as such, I might say, right along with that. Now, secondly, the Bible also reveals to us who we are. Who we are. In Hebrews 4:12, I know that verse was in the Sunday school lesson this morning, but in Hebrews 4:12, the Bible says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." The word of God, through the work of the Holy Spirit, makes it alive in our hearts. It reveals to us truth. It reveals to us who we are. It reveals to us that we are sinners in need of a Savior. It reveals to us that we cannot save ourselves. The Word of God. Yes, the King James says it's quick and powerful. The new King James says it is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and reveals to us really who we are. Several weeks ago, I had the privilege of being in a prison in South Florida and doing a seminar. And during that time, I met a very interesting inmate by the name of George. He is 55 years old, been locked up in Florida Department of Corrections for the last 30 years. And as he told me his story as such, he used the term, he grew up in a dysfunctional home. And I don't know what that meant. He didn't go into details, but he did say that in his early teen years, began his career, criminal career, apparently burglary was one of his, that was his thing, and robbing people, and got involved in gangs and even in teenage years, in and out of detention centers. And of course, being involved with a gang, he worked his way up in that, I guess, and became the boss of the gang. He was a gang leader. And at 25 years old, he was sentenced to life in prison in the state of Florida as an habitual offender. He had been in and out of prison for all those years, and they sentenced him. And that was in 1993. The next 8 years, he struggled in prison. He was doing his thing as such. Drugs was his thing. And there's ways to get that stuff in prison. And he did get it in. And but then he'd get caught smoking this weed, and he'd get caught, and he'd end up in confinement for 80 days. He said, that was my life. That was the routine of it. He said in 2001, after spending about 80 days in confinement, he's like, there's got to be a better way. This is not life. There's got to be a better way. And he got a hold of a Bible. And he said he used to, when he got a Bible, he'd tear it up, throw it away. He said this time he opened it up and began reading it. And you know what happened? God touched his heart. There in that cell, by himself, God touched his heart. And he said, I just prayed. I said, God, if this is real, then change me. Change me. And he said, I can't explain it. Something happened. I'm changed. Praise God. The power of God's word. The transforming power of God's word. It's real. It shows us who we are, and it shows us where we need to go. Yes, it declares to us God's plan of salvation for mankind. For God so loved the world that he sent us. Jesus, why? Because of his love. He sent Jesus to die on the cross so that you and I can have life and have it more abundantly. The Apostle Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, Jew first and also to the Greek. And he goes on to say, for herein is the righteousness of God revealed. It is in the truth of God's word that we find the righteousness of God is revealed to us, and he gives us direction on how we are to live. Well, George experienced that transforming power of God in 2001. Here we are in 2023, just several weeks ago, I talked with him, and he is now in South Florida at a prison where they have a mentorship program where they use inmates that have been in the system for quite a while to mentor first-time offenders, really, and to help them to get their life straightened out. And that's what George is doing now. And I just sensed the Spirit of God, just the presence of God in him as he shared the transforming power of God, what has happened in his life. And yes, he told me since he got saved in 22 years ago, he said he had not had any, no disciplinary reports written up, and it just, the transformation was real. And he said, God just took away that desire for drugs. Praise God. That's God. That's the transforming power of God. And so praise the Lord for that. So yes, the Bible reveals to us who we are, and it reveals to us God's plan of salvation. And then it reveals to us very clearly how we are to live. And in fact, our key verse for this morning tells us that, yes, it is profitable for doctrine, what we are to believe, what is the right thing to believe. It tells us what is truth, how our thinking should be, what our belief system should be. And it tells us how we are to, it corrects us when we've gone, messed up, whatever, going wrong in our lives. It corrects us and gives us direction in telling us how we are to live. And in fact, this is the only message that we have to proclaim to a lost and dying world, is a message of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is transforming. The psalmist said, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That is God's word. It is our lamp. It is our light. And gives us direction. And yes, the Word of God also reveals to us what happens when this life is over. And certainly Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, as it is appointed for man once to die, but after this the judgment, we are accountable before Almighty God for our lives. What will we do with it? And yes, the Bible brings us to that accountability, reminds us of that accountability. Well, in conclusion, I'm so grateful for the Word of God that we have. free, open before us. You know, it is that solid foundation to build our lives on. It is truth. We can build our lives on it. We don't need to worry about are we on track, are we off track? When we build our lives on the solid foundation of God's Word, who is, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will not pass away. It is forever settled in heaven. The Word of God is truth, and it is forever settled in heaven. May we allow the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth to our hearts. May we take the time, invest the time, to meditate on the Word of God, to get to know the truth, that the truth permeate our hearts. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for your Word. We thank you that you've preserved it over the years, and thank you that it is indeed the inspired, your inspired Word. It is truth. And Lord, thank you for the transformation that we experience through the power of your Word, through the Holy Spirit working and moving in our hearts. So Lord, may we apply your truth to our lives, to be the instruments, the vessels in your service for your glory and for your praise. Thank you for this congregation. Just pray a special blessing on each person that is here this morning. Pray your blessings on the leadership team here. May you grant them much grace and wisdom in leading the congregation here, that they be the salt and light in this community that you've called them to be. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Turn it back to Dale.